For a while now, back to Virginia. In-season rate determination for plant spectral reflectance in soft red winter wheat. Wade Thomason from Virginia Tech. Wade?
Thank you, Wayne. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see such a group out on such a beautiful Pennsylvania morning. And thank you all for turning out. What I wanted to talk to you about this morning was the calibration and validation of a nitrogen rate algorithm based on spectral reflectance for soft red winter wheat in Virginia. This is really the summary of about the last decade's worth of work in Virginia. It's just taken us a little time to put it together and get it reported in this format. I probably don't need to do this with this group, but my major professor taught me that you should always at least have some sort of introduction. And so, by way of introduction, what we're about with this system is attempting to increase nitrogen use efficiency in wheat production, both for environmental and agronomic goals. One of the ways that we can do that is to address spatial variability within those fields within a particular season. And in areas like Virginia, where we have quite a bit of differences among soil types and variability in those soil types within our relatively small fields, this is one way that we feel like we can get to that. And then most of this is going to focus on the GreenSeeker-based system and how this system is being employed to detect and treat these the spatial variability in fields. Now, the system, unlike some other areas of the world, works well for us in Virginia because of the way we manage our soft wheat. In general, and especially in our coastal plain soils, we put out 30 to 40 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare just to kind of bide it over through the winter. Not a lot there because there's not a lot going, and we have high leaching potential through most of our winter season. And then at growth stage 25 or FEEX 3, we go out and we take a tiller density estimate. At least this is what the extension recommendations are. So high tiller numbers equal lower rates in this first application. Low tiller numbers, of course, equal higher nitrogen recommended rates. And then our second top dress is based on tissue nitrogen concentration. So we actually have a random sample of tissue from that particular field that we're sending off to the lab. And then there's a guide that you would fall back on and move from tissue nitrogen concentration directly to that second nitrogen rate. This will be applied at FEEX 5 or ZX growth stage 30. So you can see that within our GreenSeeker system, everything else remains the same. And basically all we need to know is the NDVI measurement at the time of that second top dress application and the number of days from planting that we use to integrate the time of the season. What we found out early on in the work was number one, that if we put on our variable rate application at that first application, that growth stage 25 shot, when we came back at growth stage 30, we basically put on a flat rate whether we wanted to or not because we had treated the variability in that field that spring. And because the majority of our nitrogen goes on in that second application, we chose to focus there. We also had this comparison with the tissue test-based system that we already had in place. So in the long and short of it, the calibration side of this, since 2000 and through the early part of this decade, there were over 60 nitrogen rate response trials conducted in soft red winter wheat in Virginia under as many conditions, I guess, as we could possibly have put it under, conventional and no-till, various rotations and varieties over a lot of soil types over the range of the state. And then our studies, of course, included range of pre-plant and in-season rates, and as we gained a little more experience, we began to develop or play with developing some variable rates, and of course collected spectral reflectance measurements and other characteristics like tissue nitrogen concentration, etc. And then we finally ultimately determined grain yield after harvesting all these plots, and that's really where we'll focus with this today. So the first step was that we worked on generating a calibration model will this technology be predictive of grain yield response to nitrogen in Virginia? And what you're seeing in this one are the colored dots. And this is interesting. This is what happens when you work in one version of PowerPoint and then convert it to another one. But you see all the stuff that's black, that's whited out, and you see all these little things. That's a beautiful green on my screen, and those are data from Oklahoma. And that represents the regression that was published by the Oklahoma State crew, by Lucena and all, in 2001. And all that data, all those data are incorporated into this for this line. This is this would be the Oklahoma data, and this would be the Virginia data, which are all of these other colored dots that thankfully do appear on this graph. My point being that what we found was that the equation that seemed to work for them in hard wheat worked very well for us, especially for in the areas that were a little bit higher yielding on the upper end of the curve. Now, what we're looking at in this case is grain yield versus a yield prediction index, which for us is just NDVI divided by days from planting. We played with growing degree days and a number of other factors and found that, you know, for us in Virginia, days from planting works as well as anywhere else. And unlike some areas, we don't have access to an enormous amount of weather or climate data through a number of weather stations throughout the state. So we chose to keep it easy if we possibly could. What we chose to adopt in terms of the rate algorithm, I stole these from Bill Ron, but it makes good sense. What we're focusing on is avoiding overapplication when the crop is green and looks really good. We're cutting back rates. When we have a thin stand or we think for other reasons that the crop is never going to be able to catch up, we put on very little. So it's kind of a bell-shaped approach. And then these that are pale green but don't seem to have any other problems, good stand, seem to be able to catch up and focus and do well in terms of yield productivity, is where the majority of the nitrogen is applied. So what you're seeing in the background is a simulation of that, and then we've capped it here based on our environmental response or some other factor. So what do we need? In order to make this work in the field, we need a high nitrogen reference strip. We need to be able to normalize this within a field. We need it to be in that field. We need it to be on the same variety, same cultivar. Otherwise, this doesn't work, and we learned that early on as well, too. You have to be very specific about our cooperators. We also employ a low nitrogen reference. Now, both of these go out at growth stage 25 in that first application, so there's really only a month between when this happens and when we come back and make a variable rate application. We did that because what we found was that for us on our sandy soils, putting out a lot of nitrogen in the fall was a waste of time because when we came back, it had leached. It was gone. So we had to come up with a mechanism to deal with this in the spring. And what we found was that we needed to leave that check area at growth stage 25 in that first application, or we didn't get a big enough difference between the enriched, the high-end reference, and the farmer field value. So we needed that, you know, we needed to maximize the difference between what's fertilized and what was unfertilized to be able to assess that. And of course, we need, we're sensing what is currently under view or under the sensor's view. A little bit in terms of what's in this, I just copied this straight out of a spreadsheet, so I was a little bit lazy, but I think I can walk you guys through this. This is what the sensor sees. This is the value that we generated from that zero-end reference applied at growth stage 25, and this would be the value from our high-end reference. So we're creating a response index, if you follow the terminology that Bill Ron and his group have developed over time. Now, our recommendations, of course, I mentioned days after planting. It's 130 days after planting. Our recommendation in Virginia is that we don't go over 134 kilograms of total spring nitrogen because we risk potential lodging, greater potential risk of lodging. So for our variable rate application, we subtract whatever we put out on the rest of the field at growth stage 25. So we take that away from it immediately. We also have a couple of other factors. We have two things that are limiting that might cap this, as you see has been done in this graph. One is maximum yield potential, and that's a farmer or a consultant input about how well they think the field might do in an average year or the best out of the last five. We also have a number of farms in Virginia that are under mandatory nutrient management plans, and so they have to be able to guarantee that they have not exceeded a total rate for that field. Now, that's not pounds of product for the field. That's, you know, the way that's written is per rate. So we allow that cap to be put in here as well as some others. And then an efficiency factor, which in Virginia we found to be about 50%. In terms of validation, back in the early 2000s, a group in Virginia, Steve Phillips and Paul Davis and others, put together a grant to outfit this Spray Coupe 220 with a Green Seeker system, and over the years worked on 15 different locations over 5 years. These were large plots. These were the width of the spray boom by 75 to 150 meters in length, and these had a standard rate, a variable rate, and then fixed rates in order to manage the rate response and calculate the optimum rate in those fields. Just a little summary of what these did look like in the field. You see the different treatments in terms of variable rate. And average rate, and then our step nitrogen rates. And this would have been at our second application, growth stage 30, which is sometime, 50, 60, 70% of our total spring in, which would be appropriate for these rates. Okay, winding into results. VWA is the Virginia wheat algorithm versus the standard end recommendation. Now remember, the standard end recommendation is tissue nitrogen content and then a sufficiency-based approach. So you'd put on more nitrogen if the tissue content was low. What I want to show you in this upper graph is this is a comparison between the N rate prescribed by the Virginia wheat algorithm in the maroon and the standard algorithm in orange. The asterisks indicate that there was significant difference between those two rates, and obviously at 0.01 and then over here at 0.05. What we found was that in a good majority of these, there were significant differences between the two systems. Most of the time, the Virginia wheat algorithm rate was lower, but not always. And that's caused some heartburn with the folks who have, when we've talked about cost share with this and those kinds of programs, is that we can't always guarantee that we're going to reduce rates. What we are trying to deliver, though, is the maximum efficiency for that field. Now, what we achieved over all these 15 sites is the same yield, or very similar yield, with about a 7% reduction in nitrogen. Now, that's not great, but you've got to remember, we're comparing against an in-season tissue nitrogen content-based system, so it's pretty much an acid test. And, of course, in terms of grain yields, we had two sites that were significantly different. One where the yield from the Virginia algorithm treatment yielded a little bit better, one where the standard treatment didn't. An average of 0.8% less for the Virginia algorithm. And then we've gone a little bit further and tried to compare it to the economically optimum N rate for these sites determined from those rate response studies, assuming $183 per megagrams of wheat. Per megagram of wheat and $1.32 per kilogram of nitrogen. In this case, I've switched things around a little bit. Each one of these asterisks stands for that particular rate as opposed to the EONR. So in other words, in this case, the Virginia algorithm was significantly different from the optimum rate, whereas the standard was not. Here in this case, they both were, as well as in this case. Now you can see that these bounce back and forth quite a bit. But in most cases, they agreed relatively well, and they tended to track each other, which I was not very, very surprised about. I mean, we're looking at something that's measuring approximately chlorophyll or greenness of the plant in a couple of different methods. On average, we were pretty close. I think two of these were different. Now, what I wanted to talk about for just a second, I know this one's going to be tough to see, but I didn't have time to do much else with it. And let me flip back. Let's look at sites 1, 2, and 5 for just a second, where both methods missed it by a pretty good margin. That told me right off that something was different from the norm. And when you look at that, this is site 1, site 2, and site 5. And in all three of these cases, the economically optimum end rate for that growth stage 30 application was over 90 kilograms per hectare, which would have put us well over 150 for the spring season. And so in those seasons, well, those particular sites, we had, for some reason, extremely responsive conditions. And that's definitely not the norm. I wouldn't have expected in 3 out of 15 sites, but that's certainly what we found here. Point being that when we missed with the Virginia wheat algorithm using the Green Seeker, we typically missed with the tissue test-based standard system as well, and usually those were in cases where we had very responsive sites and high nitrogen rates would have been called for. Can I answer any questions, what I didn't cover?
I got one quick question. In that situation where you just mentioned, When you set that maximum at 90, there's no way to pick up anything higher than that, right?
That's correct.
Okay. That's what I thought.
That's correct, yes. It's
so
self-imposed.
So you would expect that if the requirement is greater, then you would have expected it to underestimate the total need.
Yes, sir.
And so that showed it right there, that in some situations, more than 90, even though you're limited into what you can put out based on nutrient management.
Some cases we should have ignored that, and the crop would have benefited from it.
Then you'd have been in trouble.
Probably.
All right. Thank you, Wade. Appreciate it. We are staying right on time.